Welcome to WJR's Internet Advisor Podcast. Catch the live show weekends on News Talk 760 WJR and online at internetadvisor.net. Now, here are your hosts, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and Ed Rudell.
Thank you once again for joining us for this hour number three of the Internet Advisor. We're taking your calls at 800-859-0957 to get some answers. Gary Baker, Ed Rudell, and Cal Carson are in studio here, ready to take your calls. And we've got Cindy Cooper is behind the phones, and thank you so much for sitting in for Ed. Eric, rather, who's on vacation. And, of course, Scott Anderson is our engineer in studio. And by the way, this next week, we'll be back on starting at 4 o'clock, because, and this is kind of like the swallows returning to San Juan Capistrano. We've been told that Dr. Dean Kroskopf is going to be back from 3 until 4 with the WJR Garden Program. And it'll be good to see Dean once again.
That's
it really
right.
is a sign but of fresh shot in the spring. Really is here.
I look at it another way. I say Internet Advisor with high T.
There we go. There we go. He'll be before us, and then we'll be on at 4 o'clock. And we're looking forward to you joining
four
us for
to
that.
6.
4 until 6. Yep. On a regular basis then. So, again, this is our third hour being on today, a very special day. And by the way, don't forget to visit internetadvisor.net, and you'll see you can click there both for the time and place for the SEMCO 35th anniversary meeting this Sunday. That's tomorrow. And we had a group of them in for our first hour. And then, Cal, the MAC group is meeting, the Detroit MAC group is meeting at the Birmingham Temple tomorrow on Sunday afternoon.
That is correct. And if you join tomorrow, you can take a chance at winning an iPad.
Ooh, don't say that
so,
too
loud. Wasn't there a winner
Don't
last
say
month?
That too loud.
Yeah, we
right?
did give away one last month. Okay. And we're giving away another one this month.
Wow. Mm. The iPad. Now, you don't have to be a member to join. Do you have to be a member to win?
You have to be a member to win, oh, okay. but you don't have
but
to be a member.
But you can sign up that day.
But you can come to the meeting. You don't have to be a member. You can come to the meeting. You can enjoy the ambience of the group and that sort of thing. But if you really want to be able to participate in some of the fabulous prizes that we give away, you have to be a member, and you can join that day.
But the first thing you said was spot on. You don't have to be a member to join.
So. Thank you very much. Thank you for that correction. All right. Now, on that note, thank you so much. 800-859-0957 is the phone number. And let's go to Gary in Van Buren, Ohio. Welcome to this third hour of the Internet Advisor. What may we do for you?
Thank you. Yeah, I've just switched from being a PC user, longtime PC user, to getting my first Mac. Mm-hmm. And I'm interested in a recommendation for a stock portfolio management software.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, isn't that a lot of that stuff online-based? So a lot of your companies like Merrill Lynch and E-Trade, don't they provide those services, in essence, on a cloud, in the cloud?
Yeah, but I'd rather have my own program that I can do things with and not have it wandering out in ether space anywhere.
Sure. So you want to be able to customize it so you can look at your things your own way. You know, I got to be honest with you. Just what Ed said, I mean, like I deal with a brokerage house that has a fairly comprehensive management system that I get online with my account. And so I've never really looked at doing something where I can manage them separately right on my PC or my Mac. Let me take, you know.
What type of software did you use on your PC? So, I mean, obviously you've already looked at that and you're finding that they make a product for the Mac or they do not make a product for the Mac?
I haven't researched it yet. I've done a little bit of Googling and mm-hmm. found that there are some stock portfolio management software for the Mac, but I've not looked at any recommendations kind of consumer magazines.
Was just Googling and ran into, it's called brokersense.com, and specifically it has a page of online brokers for Apple Mac users.
Right.
And I'm going to guess that they have got different, I see here a different number of different things that they can offer to you. Think or Swim, Option Express, E-Trade,
yeah, but he said he doesn't want it to be web-based. That's the whole thing. So you using a software product on your PC prior to this? I guess that was my original question.
Yeah, I kind of cobbled together a Excel version of my own that really wasn't that robust. So I'd like.
I got you. So you're looking for a recommendation. So
Gary, I was going to suggest that you take a look at a product called Stock Market Eye. And they offer a free download of their of the full function program that you can use on the Mac for 30 days. Why don't you download that and take a look at it and see if it's going to do what you need to do?
Yeah. Is it I as in the letter or I as in the...
I as in E-Y-E. Their slogan is keep your eye on the market.
You know, and that's something I never thought of about freeware. And you have to know that these companies are targeting the definite increase in Mac users. So what a way, that's a perfect way. Try before you buy, and that way you can find out what you like and dislike about it, and you can make, some good decision points after that.
Although, Gary, do you use a discount stockbroker online to make any trades?
I have not.
Oh, okay. So I use TDD Ameritrade and just found out that one of our favorite sons here, used to be the CIO at Ford, Marv Adams, just took over as the COO at TDD Ameritrade. So, that makes me feel really good. I know he's looking out for that software and that company. So I've found that, online brokers like that will allow you to do, put up a sample portfolio and everything. So if you decide that you want to do that, you may want to check out. And there are a number of them that are like that. But.
Alrighty. Thank you very much for your call, and hopefully that works out for you. Eric in Royal Oak, we'll be with you in just a moment. For the rest of you, the phone number is 800-859-0957. Get your call in to the Internet Advisor.
You're listening to a podcast of WJR's Internet Advisor. You can find more resources to protect your computer on our webpage at internetadvisor.net.
Thank you so much for joining us. By the way, just a quick word to you about the Internet Advisor. You know, all week long, we're there for you as well at internetadvisor.net. If you go to our homepage, you can check on past shows. You can check on the toolkit where Ed will have, matter of fact, a brand new entry about searching and doing it more effectively. News, advice, and our forums, finally. And people can go in there during the week when you have a problem with your computer. And there's a whole bunch of people that have been around for a long time helping, giving advice. And they're sitting in there just waiting to see a question pop up that they can sink their teeth into and answer. And so 24/7, that forum is available for you on the Internet Advisor. But right now, the phone lines are open to you, and we have quite a few phone lines open, so this is a good time for you to get your question in at 800-859-0957. And let's go to Eric in Royal Oak, and welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thank you. What can we do for you?
Well, I've got a problem with my PC, and it's been getting worse as time goes on. Now, this PC is about a little over a year old. It's a Gateway. And the problem I'm having is whenever I stream any videos, after a very short period of time, the computer just shuts off. It's like somebody had pulled the plug on it. Hmm. If I listen to music on iTunes, it'll last a little bit longer, but then the same result. It'll just quit in the middle of it. And I've noticed this has become more and more frequent over over time. Mm-hmm. And I'm a bit perplexed as to what it may be. I've updated the video driver, but that hasn't helped.
And these are good videos and good music, so it's not being like a critic and saying, you don't want to watch this stuff, right?
The music is just fine.
All right. So we know it's not that. We'll rule that one out.
Okay.
That's a good call. Are you a handy type person? Like, if I was to go to your house, would you have a compressor in your garage?
Yeah.
There you go. So what I suspect is happening, and Cal can collaborate with me, when you're doing sound and video, when it's basically taking the compressed data and it's the compressed audio, and it has to work to decompress it and convert it to sound that comes out your speakers. And that takes a little bit of processing power. Okay, now amplify that tenfold and maybe fivefold, and you're doing the same thing for video. You're working that that beast to death, and it's getting hot. I think you have a fan that's going on your computer, if it hasn't already gone.
Yeah, and if it's not a fan, how old is this computer again?
Well, it's about a year and a half old. Because I've been noodling around in there, looking around to see if there's anything obvious, like a loose connection or something like this, I've left the side cover off of it.
Yeah.
Now, I have an auxiliary fan that is working fine. The
oh, really?
Processor fan. Yeah, there's a processor fan that, you know, that goes right over the...
Okay,
right.
Then I would suspect your video card. Have you got a, you know, a lot of the computers, especially the gateways, come with a separate video card that's in the bus, and those mm-hmm. also come with fans. So... where your video card plugs into, you might want to try to identify the card that it plugs into because you have the side panel off, and look to see if there's a fan associated with that. Because a lot of these
are... I think there is. This particular rig, when I went looking to purchase one, I told the person at the store that I was interested in doing some PC gaming, so I needed something with a little bit of horsepower, nothing too crazy because I was limited with my budget. So he assured me that this one would... work just fine, and it does. And
yeah, it has its own. It has its own onboard memory, and to do that, it needs to be able to cool that chip.
Yeah, the video card.
Yeah.
And the other thing, so you might want to, of course, ground yourself, unplug the computer, ground yourself, which is by touching a piece of metal on the computer because you have the side panel off. And I said to remove the power. And by touching it, you're not going to have any static discharges. Then you could probably remove the video card very easily. Sounds like you're a handy person where you can either mm-hmm. remove a screw or flip a little latch and the card should slide right out. And then look at it and see if it has little dust bunnies in there or even if it has a fan. Now, if it's not that... what other ideas? My power supply, possibly, Cal?
Power supply, it may be a bad memory chip, maybe being some intermittent problems there, but I'm going to go with Ed on that one, and I have found that if the inside of the computer looks clean, I found out that that little fan that sits on the side of the processor on the video card, those things will gunk up faster than the other fans will. And usually taking that out, laying it down on a table with the fan up and a toothbrush and lightly cleaning the blades on that fan. Then when you put it back in, leave the side off of it and look and make sure that fan is in fact spinning when you power up the computer.
Don't do what I used to do. And I used to do in the old days, I used to take my compressor, get it up to about 120 PSI and make that thing sound like an airplane taking off. Well, you do not want to do, don't do that.
I think they have an air bearing in those things, if I'm not mistaken. And I can be...
It sounds like fun, but you're burning out the bearings. Don't do that.
No, I don't want to do that. That's an expensive component. Now, just one other thing. Let's say that all of those things check out just fine, and it turns out to be something like a bad bit of RAM or something. Is there an easy way of checking for those sorts of things?
I know that some of the independent computer stores that you go to will have machines that can check RAM. The larger stores seem to not have them. They more or less say, just buy some new and keep moving on. But if you go to one of the independent computer stores, you may even want to call our sponsor again, CompuQuest, and ask them if they can test it out for you. You're about halfway over to their facility, and maybe they can help you out with that type of situation as well.
Yeah. You're also near Micro Center. Micro Center might have something.
Yeah. However, I'm going to...
I have to be careful when I go there because I just empty my wallet out.
I know. Oh, just
leave your credit card
waiting,
at home.
Just waiting in line to check out, you could spend hundreds.
Isn't
of dollars.
It just bliss?
You're not kidding.
But I do think I'll make it a unanimous vote on the fan problem because it works fine for a while. It looks like you know you're overheating, and that's a sure.
That's the indication. I think that's the indication for all of us is that it works fine for a while, then it stops.
Yeah. The one thing is you can run the onboard diagnostics on these, like Dell computers, which were always great, and I was very disappointed about what the previous caller said about the Dell support.
I am too.
Because Dell was very unusual. Yeah. But a lot of these have onboard diagnostics. So when you power up your computer and with the Dell, you might be able to hit the escape key or the delete key or something like that and bring up the ability to run onboard diagnostics where it not only tests the memory, but it'll test the hard drive and it'll test the CPU. Right. And a lot of them will even test fan speeds and and heat sensors.
Yep.
Do this when you have a bit of time because it will take...
Is there a bit of software, that a freeware that might be out there that would do that I could download?
Yeah, there is, but you could also get it. Gateway may provide it. I don't know if they do. I know Dell does. I know HP provides separate diagnostic software that you can download. I'm sure Gateway does. I would hope...
Now, if you had to ballpark a temperature that the CPU or the memory on the video card would be running at, about what should I be expecting from those?
I would say check with the manufacturer.
I can't remember.
Yeah, you need to check with the manufacturer.
Because a couple of years ago, I ran into a computer that was like that, and it was a Dell, and that's where I got my knowledge about this. They actually have a CPU temperature fan override, which I could actually monitor the CPU temperature and the fan speed, and I can adjust the fan speed from low, medium, high to hyperspeed. Mm. You know,
and as long as you can take the noise.
Yeah,
if we, you can tell the temperature is too hot if the steak burns on one side.
All right, Eric, thanks so much for your questions.
I love that.
Okay,
good luck to you as well. All right, Mike from Westlake, welcome to WJR. Smelling barbecue in here?
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
I am having a small problem trying to get my Excel icon from the shortcut position on the desktop back to where it originally came from.
Where did it originally come from?
Well, right from the Office suite.
Yeah, so start all programs, Microsoft Office.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's where it was. Is there a way to get it back?
Yeah. Of course there is.
I'm going to try it, but go ahead.
Okay, what I usually do is I always right-mouse click on the icon and then drag it over the Start button,
yep.
And then you go to All Programs and then Microsoft Office, and then when you start hovering over there with the other icons, you release the right-mouse button, and it'll give you the ability to either copy it there or move it there. Now, my daughter used to do this. She used to drag all my program icons onto the desktop, and I say, when you do that, do you realize that no one else has them for all the other users on this computer? And you want to do just the opposite. So you can right-mouse click and copy, or you can right-mouse click drag over the Start button, and you should be able to release it.
All right. Thanks so much for your call.
Yeah, just drag it over, release it on Start, and it'll go on, but it won't go under the Microsoft file file folder. You have to move it.
Excellent. We'll be back to answer more of your questions, and there's lines open at 800-859-0957, the Internet Advisor.
You're listening to a podcast of WJR's Internet Advisor. For help with any computer problem, call in during our live show or visit our webpage at internetadvisor.net.
Thank you so much for joining us. By the way, if you're sitting out there, I know there's somebody sitting out there. Right now, I got like the old Karnak, you know, with Johnny Carson holding up he's got the Swami hat on holding up the car.
You are correct.
Somebody out there who wants to ask a question and still hasn't got it in, and they're thinking, I can't ask this question. I'll sound dumb.
It'll be hermetically sealed in a mayonnaise jar.
There we go.
On Funkin' Wagnall's porch from noon today.
We do have some answers in here for your questions, and we've got some time for your phone calls at 1-800-859-0957.
I think Gary opened up the Wayback Machine a little too far.
Definitely did, yeah.
Oh my God. Rolling the Martin's
Where did that come from? Yeah.
John from Northville, welcome to WJR's Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Yeah, I've got like a 9-year-old gateway
mm-hmm.
with XP on it,
mm-hmm.
and I'm being dragged kicking and screaming trying to. Family saying upgrade to a new
yeah,
computer.
They're trying to put that one in a museum, aren't they?
Yeah. It does work okay, but it's got glitches. And, I mean, the age is getting to it, and it's kind of like, but I've got some good programs on there that, hey, I like, and I'm wondering, if I get a new one, is there any way that I can transfer these programs to the new one?
That's a very good question. And by the way, Ed has said this before on the program, when you're switching, let's say, for instance, from Windows XP to Windows 7, there is actually a program you run. Isn't it a compatibility program, Ed?
No, File and Transfer Wizard.
Is it File and Transfer? I thought there was also a compatibility program
Microsoft has for you. Yes, yeah. There is. There is a compatibility program that'll check to see if the programs that are currently installed in your Windows XP environment will work with a Vista or a Windows 7 computer.
If you go to Microsoft website, I think.
Yeah, and just search for compatibility program.
Yeah.
Unless you have something really different, unique, you may want to upgrade the programs too.
Yeah.
It will cost you a little more money, so you have to factor that into mm-hmm. the price of the purchase, but you know, you'll get the upgraded Office suite if that's what you're running. So it may be worth it because after 9 years, you've got a fair amount of functionality that is going to be new.
Now, I think I've got one warning is I think if you go to Windows 7, you have to go to Windows 7 Pro in order to get the XP mode, don't you? So you can run that like a virtual mode that you can run programs
I'm not
in?
Sure. I don't think so. You might be right. We'll look it up. The thing is, regardless, you're going to have the original installation media or download files for these programs. So if you don't have those, you're not going to be able to just copy them over to your Windows 7 environment and expect them to work. You're going to have the installation media.
I remember years back here, there used to be a program called Aloha Bob. And you used to be able to, you hook the two computers together and it would transfer programs from one to the other, you know?
Yep.
And I don't know if there's anything out there because now you're up to Windows 7 and a lot of this stuff is, it's hard to find today.
And programs like Aloha Bob would basically move an entire program. It would start the program up, find all the files and settings and registry entries for that file and attempt to duplicate it on the other computer. And those were very niche and very specialized programs. I'm not sure if they're... If they've survived over the years.
Not to mention, I think they were moving from like platform to like platform.
Correct.
Where when you're going from XP to Vista or XP to Windows 7, those programs may not transcend that move.
Right.
So I'm going to have to shell out some more bucks.
Hey, you got 9 years.
The stuff I got.
You got 9 years out of that rascal. That's a pretty good run.
You're doing an incredible run.
And not to mention the fact that when you get the new machine, you can still run the old machine until the wheels fall off of it. It's just that you, after a while running the new machine, and you see the speed and the bells and whistles and that sort of thing, it'll start to acquire a lot more dust.
Let me tell you something that I just learned looking at Microsoft. I mentioned that the Windows XP Virtual Mode or Windows XP Compatibility Mode.
Yes.
You do need that. That comes, it's an extra download, and it comes only with Windows 7 Professional Ultimate
or Enterprise.
Enterprise.
So thank you, Foster.
You have to buy that version of it, but what it means is that it allows you to run certain of those Windows XP programs in that compatibility or virtual mode.
Okay.
Now, Aloha Bob has been discontinued, but PC Relocator has taken its place, and it's only like $9 from Amazon.
Oh.
So you could do that. And then there's a bunch of other ones that you could try. There's like PC Mover and some others. So
okay.
I don't know how well that some of them work, but you might be able to try them for $9. It might be worth it.
And as we'll say, you know.
But you do need to, all the things that we talked about before, absolutely correct. You need to make sure it's compatible with the new operating system.
And you might want to graduate up to a laptop because Gary says laptops are replacing most desktop functionalities, and you may like the freedom and gaining that desk space back of the other computer.
Yep. Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks, John. You asked a very good question and actually allowed us to answer a lot of different ones. And by the way, one of the things that people are doing is they're getting a laptop computer, and then they're also getting a standalone, like a 22-inch screen, a flat screen. And I use that at home. My daughter suggested that to me when I got my MacBook Pro. She said, get one of those. And then you can have a lot more space, and I keep my calendar and email open on one, and on the other one I use all my programs, and it's wonderful to have. Yeah. And those flat screens are going for $125 right now.
I like mine. Even if you don't plan to take your PC out of your home, just the freedom to go to the kitchen, go to out on the deck in the summertime, go to the family room, sit down and watch TV. And actually work on your computer.
And then once again, me and Gary are on opposite sides of the fence because I'd rather have a desktop machine. I like a nice big screen. I like having a place where I can do expansion or add a bunch of different peripherals and stuff like that to it. The only time that I do like using a laptop, like a desktop, is if I have a good docking station for it. Because the biggest hassle I hate about a laptop, using it in a house in that environment, is hooking and unhooking up the devices. But when you have a docking station, it's one click in, one click out. Yeah. So it's worth the extra $150 to get one of those things.
And you don't chance bending the pins so often when you have to.
Very good point.
Connect and I connect.
Absolutely.
So often.
Very good point. All right, Ron in Dearborn, welcome to the Internet Advisor. What can we do for you this afternoon?
Hi, guys. I hope you can help me out. I got a virus that keeps coming back, and I can't seem to get rid of it.
Well, I have a cold like that right now.
Yeah, I think I'll give this one to Cal.
What operating system are you using?
Well, I got Vista on a laptop. I'm running Zone Alarm with AVG, and I even downloaded the latest Malwarebytes and did a scan, and that doesn't seem to find it.
And what sort of virus are you having?
Well, what happens is that I'll be surfing the web, and all of a sudden it'll come up and say, and it's always a different EXE, wants to do an update, and I always cancel that. Then AVG says it puts it in the vault, and I figure I'm all set. But then when I try to open Firefox again or Windows Explorer or anything, the associations are all messed up. So what I've had to do is do a system restore, and then everything's okay for another day or two. But then a day or two later, the same thing pops up.
Now, after you do the system restore, do you, like, run a scan with your virus software immediately after that restore?
I haven't been doing it all the time.
Well, I'd like you... that's the first thing that I would do. And then after I'd let that virus scan run completely through, you said you already tried using Malwarebytes, correct?
Right.
Try using CombiFix.
CombiFix
in coordination with Malwarebytes seems to work pretty good as of late. That seems to be the best combination I've worked with.
Yeah. So CombiFix will actually scan your computer, and like an antivirus or a malicious software scanner, it'll also try to find and it'll identify items.
It'll identify them, and if it's part of its current table of things that are bad, it will make them go away.
Excellent. Okay.
And by the way, if you want to find CombiFix, simply go to internetadvisor.net and then up to the toolkit at the top of the page. And then if you click down there, you'll see as you go down, CombiFix, Ed has put an explanation of what it does in there, and then you can also go to the site that you need to go to download that, all right? Thank you so much. Glad to be able to help you, Ron, and we're going to take some more calls before we wrap things up here, so we got time for a couple more calls. Get your phones and get the call in at 800-859-0957. The Internet Advisor will be back to help you in just a moment.
You're listening to a podcast of WJR's Internet Advisor. For the latest up-to-the-minute technology news, check out the Internet Advisor's blog at internetadvisor.net.
Once more, I want to thank my co-host for having been here, Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, and Cal Carson, thanks so much for being
here,
guys.
We do keep you entertained in the breaks, don't we?
You certainly do. Never a dull moment here. And then Cindy Cooper, thank you so much for your help. And Scott Anderson, who will be... Hey, Scott is going to be enjoying his new iPad 2 that he won in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, that's when he'll get it. Let's get right back and answer some questions quickly here before we wrap things up. Robin from Columbus, Michigan. How you doing, and what can we do for you?
Well, thank you for taking my call. And sure. You've probably answered this question before, but I obviously wasn't listening. I just got myself a laptop, and I was wondering about virus software.
Yeah.
And also, is it better to, which one would be better, and should I buy it in the store or online?
Some good questions. What operating system is your computer running?
Okay, I'm not really...
I mean, is it Windows 7?
Like Windows or a Mac?
Windows 7.
Oh, okay.
Before she goes any further, let me ask you a question. Who do you get your internet from?
Whoops, I'm sorry.
Who do you get your internet service from?
I get it at work. I use the internet at lunchtime.
Oh, okay. So you don't have one at home. Okay.
No.
Because you know where I was going with that.
Yeah.
Well, do they have antivirus there?
At work?
I'm not aware of it if they do. I don't know.
Okay.
They must. Is it a large company, a small company?
It's fairly large, yes.
Then they have antivirus software.
Yeah, and
they provided the computer, didn't they?
Did they?
Well, my computer keeps telling me it's McAfee. Uh-huh. Keeps coming up and saying my computer's at risk.
Okay.
I would contact your help desk, your service desk at the company.
Is this a personal computer, or did they provide it for you at work?
No, it's a personal computer.
Oh, you just got on at work. And you're using the wireless that at work?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And,
okay, then chances are what I would do, number one, if you just bought the computer, it may have came with a trial version of McAfee on it. Mm-hmm. If you're happy with it, McAfee's a decent virus protection program. What you can do is online via that McAfee website, right inside that program, you could go ahead and buy the subscription for that. I think they sell it at a year at a crack. And you can protect your computer that way.
I would suggest, however, the way that I've been doing with Windows computers, the newer ones, is to use the Microsoft Home Security Essentials, which is an entire suite from Microsoft that you can download that
for
is free. It's absolutely free.
And it's Microsoft what?
It's called Microsoft Home Security Essentials, and you'll find that on Microsoft.com. Just go up there and ask for home security essentials.
But, or go to the Internet Advisor website, go in our toolkit.
Yes, I've got it in there.
And in our toolkit, it's the one of the top line items, Microsoft Home Security Essentials.
Yeah. But before you download it and put it on your computer, you need to remove the McAfee off the computer first through add remove program.
What you might try to do is just go to the site, either go to internetadvisor.net and in the toolkit, Ed has it there, or go to Microsoft, download the Microsoft Security Essentials program into a download folder, okay? And then just leave it there. Then go offline and uninstall the McAfee software. Once it's uninstalled, and you've turned it off and turn it back on, then go to that place that you downloaded the Microsoft Home Security Essentials and double-click on that .exe file. It'll open up immediately and start installing. And it'll give you pretty... I have been very happy with the protection. It's not, you know, absolutely bulletproof. I don't think there's anything out there that is absolutely bulletproof. But it's proven to be very good. At least I have.
Yep, very good and free. I like that.
Yep. And it does not take a lot of your resources up. It's built to work well with Windows 7, and Windows 7 Firewall has also been optimized. So I think it's a very good suite for you to use.
Sweet.
All right?
All right, great. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Okay, Robin, thank you very much. And let's see, we have one more question in here. Tim from Shelby Township, let's see if we can wrap things up with a question or an answer for you. How are you doing?
I bought a used Dell from Oakland University, and it was replacing an e-machine that had the motherboard or top bridge or something had blown up, and it had lots of files on the hard drive, which was maybe a 120-gig hard drive. And so I opened up the Dell, and it had one slot for a SATA drive was what this was, and so I hooked up the new piece and put it in and connected there was a wire to connect it, you know, for power and and a wire to connect it to the SATA drive. And when I start the computer, it doesn't recognize it. It still just shows the one hard drive.
Yeah.
And I don't know, some of the old ones used to have jumpers for masters and slaves, but this one didn't appear to have any of that.
Nope, don't need to do any of that stuff. Probably what you forgot to do is after you put that drive in there, you have to go into the BIOS and tell the computer that, hey, I have a second hard drive in it. And the way you do that, I think on a Dell, you either turn the power on and press the F2 or the F10 key.
F2.
And then when you press that key, then you'll go into the BIOS and you'll look for, I think, either a disk or storage. And in there, you tell it, I've got a second drive. Or it might even auto-recognize it once you get into the BIOS. And then you
So you push F2
when
you start it up?
Yes.
And then that'll take you into some startup mode?
That'll take you into setup.
Setup?
Yeah. And then once you get into setup, then you can walk through there and you'll find where your hard drives are. And then what you're going to do is you're going to enable the second SATA drive. And then when you come out of that setup, it's going to ask you, do you want to save the changes? And you're going to say yes. And when you say yes to save the changes, then it reboots, and it should be able to see that drive.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if worse comes to worse, you can test it by, you know, if it fails that way, you could disconnect the cables off of your primary SATA drive and temporarily connect them up to this one just to see if you get, you know, it started up, and then, of course, it'll give you all these nasty errors about drivers not loading and stuff. But what you want to do is hear it spin up and stuff just to see if it works. Because, you know, if it's coming out of a damaged computer, it may be a fried hard drive, as an example.
Well, it was the bridge or something on it that went and it seemed to work, but you know, I forget, it's been a year or more now.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
well, that worked the same way. I took another... we had a laptop that blew up, an old Toshiba, and it has an IBM little hard drive. It's a small size. I know they sell enclosures. Does that work the same way? You can plug it into...
Matter of fact, I would do that rather than try and use it inside the computer itself. I go by my local computer store, get a hard drive enclosure that allows you to attach it to the USB port.
Oh, that's
port,
a good idea.
And you'd be able to get all your data off that really easy that way.
Yeah, for $19 at Micro Center, you could buy one that supports 3 different generations of hard drives.
Okay. I know that the small one was like $35 and the large one was like $90 or
something. Yeah, but the guy said before, if you go into Micro Center, you may come out having spent a whole lot more money without having to want to.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
There's so many goodies in there.
Right.
But that is, they have a lot of those things.
Yeah, and it basically, it's a USB cable and a power connection, mm-hmm. and it'll plug into IDE, mini IDE, or SATA devices. So it'll work with three different generations, mm-hmm. and you plug it in, and it'll work as an external.
And you can also get some really fancy enclosures that, will... Yeah. Actually take the whole drive and you tuck it in and you screw it down and things like that. But the one that you're talking about, Ed, is a little interface that I plug onto the front of a hard drive, and it has a power-up cord on that, and I use that to take the information
right.
off.
But I think Cal's right. Just go in there and enable it in the BIOS, and you should be all set.
You're ready to go, Tim. Thanks so much for giving us a call. And that was a great way to wrap up another excellent Internet Advisor. Gary, thank you. Ed, Cal, thanks. Cindy... And Scott, thank you very much. My name is Foster Brown, and we will be back next week, by the way, starting in what will be for our summer period, our regular time. The spring and summer will be on from 4 until 6 o'clock, right after the excellent doctor, Dean Krauskopf, will be here for his garden show. And we look forward to meeting you then at 4 o'clock this coming week. We're going to have lots of good things. Vin Chmielewski is going to be here from VC Web Designs.
Yep.
We're talking with some of his folks, and we'll be talking about all sorts of other good things. So it'd be a great time for you to visit us here at the Internet Advisor. Spread the word, visit us on Facebook, or go to internetadvisor.net and find out more about us. Until then, have a great weekend.
You've been listening to a podcast of WJR's Internet Advisor. To hear previous podcasts, visit our webpage at internetadvisor.net.